The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
Billy, 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 Billy. Whoa, Billy, Billy. It's the biggie.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a Friday edition. We welcome back a fine guest, returned from vacation, hopefully rested and ready to go. He's Bill Press. He's a podcaster. He's a pundit. He's a friend of ours. Bill, how you been, man? How was Europe, my friend?
I was in Rome for a month. I was working. It was a mix of, I was at the American Academy in Rome for a month, working on a new book. And enjoying Rome, I might say. Ate a lot of pasta, ate a lot of pizza, but also got a lot of work done. So it was great, anyhow.
Well, you look good. The Roman climate apparently suits you, Bill.
It was nice to have a dinner conversation without having to talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene or Madison Cawthorn, right? Or Matt Gaetz or any of those other creeps.
Well, you don't have to talk about it at dinner, Bill, but occasionally I do. I'm guilty. Let me ask you, you're a media guy, and I'd like to think I'm a media guy. Jen Psaki, soon to return to the media ranks. What do you think of her last day at the White House? Did you have any big issue? Do you feel like she's been conflicted since she's been in negotiations, Bill?
Well, first of all, let me just say, I think Jen Psaki is... I must admit, I did not. I was out doing some. I was out busy with stuff. I did not see her last press briefing, but I've seen many of them, and I've been to many of them. I think she's one of the best press secretaries that I've seen at the White House, because she is very comfortable at the lectern. She knows her stuff. She has ready access to the president. And she doesn't lie, right? You know, she tells the truth, and she's very, she and her crew are very responsive. I think, Karine Jean-Pierre is going to be terrific at taking her place, a historic appointment. But all of my colleagues there, conservative and liberal, all said the same thing. You know, when they had, the answer is always, I'll get back to you, right? Or let's get back to you later and they never follow through. This gang does follow through. They're very, very good. They're very accessible, and they're very responsive to reporters there. Now, I happen to think it would have been better if she waited until she was not press secretary to start negotiating with MSNBC, but, you know, big deal.
It's got to work. We all got to work, right, Bill? You've been in negotiations with the big networks before. How long does that take? You got your agent doing that? Guy call you? How's that work, Bill?
Even if your agent is doing that, you're the one that makes the decisions, right? And you're the one that goes to the meetings. And I have been certainly in jobs, television jobs, radio jobs, where I've been negotiating for my next gig, right?
We do it every day, don't we, Bill? Just every single day.
we're always looking around, we're always waiting, right? Or we're always making that call. But I've never been press secretary for the president of the United States and done that. But again, it's not a big deal. If she had asked my advice, I would have said, you know, finish your you're gonna get the job, right? Finish your gig, and then within a month, she would have wrapped it up. But again, I'm not being critical. I'm just saying that would have been my choice, but I do not criticize her at all for what she did. The most important thing is at the State Department under Obama, at the White House under President Biden, I think she's done an incredible job. I'm a big, huge fan.
Bill, what do you think about the relationship she had with, let's say, Peter Doocy at Fox News? And they're... is always going to be a oppositional media outlet, and Fox News is obviously an outlet of the right, and they don't play it straight anymore. They don't even claim fair and balanced anymore, Bill. So what do you see the role in, and do you think she did well sort of parrying day after day with Doocy in the press room?
I think she put Peter Doocy in his box every day, right? I mean, yeah, I know Doocy, not really, really well. He and I are on friendly terms. He's been around, you know, not at the White House until recently, but for the last few years. But you know, she knows he's playing his role and he knows that she's doing her job, right? And I think they reached that sort of mutual understanding that she knew every day he was getting questions fed to him by Fox executives. You know, this is where we need to go. This is going to be our line of attack for today. So you got to get us some little meat here, right? That Sean Hannity and Tucker and the others and Laura Ingraham can chew on the rest of the night. That was his job, but she didn't let him BS her at all. I thought she handled him. She treated him with respect, and she handled him well. I thought very well.
Folks,
by the way, you know, when I thought Ducey handled himself well, when Joe Biden said, what was it? Tough son of a bitch, or
yeah, he's a son of a
bitch, or whatever.
Yeah, inflation. I think the question, you know, how is inflation helping your reelective campaign? And you dumb son of a bitch. Of course, you know, it's not helping me. I think something we paraphrased the president and the esteemed Mr. Ducey of Fox News.
And you know, he called Ducey that night, and they basically just laughed about it. And Ducey, Fox wanted Ducey to go nuclear, right? Oh, we're going to sue, right? The whole thing, right? And Ducey didn't. He just said, "Look, this part of that goes with the territory." But I have to tell you, having been there at the briefings every day for years, there, no matter who the president is, there's always tension in that room. That's the nature of the beast, right? A lot of tension between the reporters who want to know everything now, right? And the White House that wants to give out just as little information as they can when they want to. And so there's always this push-pull. And it's not just the right-wingers that push and press the press secretary to be more forthcoming. But, pardon me, the most important thing is tell the truth. And, you know, when I was there, that's what Jay Carney did. That's what Robert Gibson did. That's what Josh Blanken, you know who I mean, Obama's last press secretary. But that's exactly what Sean Spicer did not do, exactly what Sarah Huckabee did not do, right? They just lied through their teeth, and everybody knew they were lying.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. That's Bill Press. He always tells the truth. He's a fine guest. He's got his podcast. Bill, when's the next podcast dropping?
Well, by the way, the podcast first, you know, all of my, that's a, the thing about podcasts is when you put them up and post them like on Google or Apple or Spotify or whatever, they're there forever, right? But so you can listen to any of my podcasts over the last 2 years at any time. But if you go to the Bill Press Pod today, you will find your friend, my friend, Mark Pocan.
Awesome.
I interviewed him Tuesday. Great interview about where the progressive caucus is today, what the progressive agenda is today, all about how he thinks the Alito Supreme Court decision is going to impact the midterms, and a lot about Wisconsin politics. He and I talked a lot about Wisconsin politics. In fact, we talked about this. I just heard on your newscast there that this wacky Supreme Court judge seems to be backing down a little bit.
Well, he got the contract renewal, and they put him on the back burner until the lawsuits get resolved.
Yeah.
So, you know, he doesn't – their convention is next Friday, Bill. Right down the road here in Middleton. And he's going after the Speaker of the Assembly, Robin Voss. I mean, Voss is being targeted. They're calling him a treasonous traitor, the longest-serving Assembly Republican Speaker in history. And, I mean, this guy controls the legislature, and he's lost control of his caucus in no small part because he hired the corrupted former Supreme Court justice who let the fringe loose on him, Bill.
Yeah.
So, hey, man, how do we get you back in Wisconsin, Bill?
What's that?
The audience always wants to know, when's Bill coming back to Wisconsin? What would it take, Bill? You write a number on a piece of paper. We assume first-class tickets, and we'll find you a 420-friendly spot behind the building.
Okay, we got it. We forget the first class ticket. It's the 420 friendly spot behind the building that I'm more interested in. I'm going to make a note right now. We got to plan a trip. I'm going to look for some dates.
If you're willing to do a live show, Bill, I'll get the venue. We'll put it together. No problem. We'll bring out the audience. We'll have a good time.
Yeah. Okay. But you know what? It can't be June because I'm really got and July and probably September.
Huh? Yeah, closer to the election, man. We got Ron Johnson on the ballot. We got Tony Evers on the ballot here. Have a little fun talking about the elective cycle. Folks,
September, October would be a good time, and the students will be back on campus. By the way, I love Mark Buchanan, of course, calls the senator Rojo, right?
Rojo. We all do, Rojo. Some call him Rojo the Clown, usually not to his face. And it's funny, Bill, and I used to describe my relationship with Ron Johnson as friendly. And most of the Republicans I dealt with, I had a friendly relationship. While I'm still curious, Bill, are there any you have an unfriendly relationship with? You said you had a friendly one with Ducey, and of course we know you like Pocan. Who don't you like, Bill?
Well, I don't like Kevin McCarthy. I must admit, I have an okay relationship with him. I mean, we know each other, say hello, right? But I just think, talk about somebody who's lost control. And by the way, lost their soul, if he ever had one, right? I have no respect at all for some of the named people I mentioned earlier. Marjorie Taylor Greene, Madison Cawthorn, Matt Gaetz, Mo Brooks. They don't belong in the Congress. I don't care what their politics is. I mean, what their political philosophy is. I don't care that they're Republicans, right? No, they don't belong. They're not worthy of public office, period. They're not worthy of being dog catcher.
Bill, what about the House efforts? I mean, you just about named half the people under subpoena by the January 6th committee, including the minority leader, Kevin McCarthy. I don't think Taylor Greene, Mo Brooks was on that list, though. And a number of other perhaps complicit insurrectionists
Jim Jordan's as big an a-hole as anybody else and as any of the others I mentioned, right? So he's on that list. Yeah.
You know, he was a UW Wisconsin All-American, Bill. I'm a little embarrassed to say it. Before he became a wrestling coach at Ohio State and looked the other way.
Yeah. I think Jim Jordan should be in jail, by the way, but nobody ever filed charges against him. So,
what do you think about the effort to subpoena sitting House members? Is it strategic? I mean, the timing, they're going to roll out, if you believe the January 6th committee, on June 9th, a little early birthday present for me and Dominic and even Donald Trump, because he's got a birthday that weekend as well. They're going to do the public hearings, the primetime hearings. Right, and we plan on broadcasting those hearings, Bill. But what about the late subpoenas? Now, McCarthy seems somehow different from the other four that perhaps were part of the planning, part of the press to overturn the election. But Kevin McCarthy seemingly was afraid, was pushing back against the president in real time. What's the strategy behind the subpoenas, Bill?
Well, first of all, Kevin McCarthy should have to testify. He has information, I think, that would be very important to the committee. He admits, he's told like everybody else, right, that he talked to Donald Trump on January 6th while the insurrectionists were wrecking the Capitol and chasing people down. And that's important for the committee to know, which one of its main objectives is how did this happen? Who was involved, not just on that day, but leading up to that day? And on that day, what was Donald Trump doing? And somebody like the Republican leader who was talking to Donald Trump would know, and the committee needs to hear that. I admire the committee. If you're going to get in this business, you don't just do halfway measures. You go for broke. You go all the way. Good for them.
Bill Press, he always goes all the way for broke. He's sticking around until the end of the hour. Please come back with us. My fine guest, podcaster, pundit, Bill Press. You know him, you love him. Come right back.
What have they got that I ain't got?
Courage.
You could say that again.
ban in their parliament.
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition. We welcome back a fine guest. He's Bill Press. He's recently been vacationing in Europe. Bill, I knew you were back because I saw you had published an op-ed at the Hill. But I got to ask you, man, you went to Europe and we turned back the clock 50 years on abortive rights and reproductive rights. Roe v. Wade, or at least the specter of the overturning of Roe v. Wade. And we knew there was the possibility it was coming, Bill, but I think it's been sort of crystallized with the Alito opinion. Got to ask you, is this an inflection point? Does this wake up the electorate? Or is it going to be a big yawn, Bill? Do people just, you know, the partisans were already activated and the middle just says, well, it doesn't affect us. What's your thought, Bill?
I would put it this way. I think there are, look, every day, you know, we say, oh, my God, big news, breaking news, this story, that story. We chase all these rabbits. With all of that stuff, very, very, very seldom is there a political event that really fundamentally alters the political landscape. This is one of them. I really believe this is going to and this is what the decision is going to be. Don't think they're going to change their mind. This is coming down in June. And I think it is going to have repercussions beyond what we could even imagine on every level. First of all, in no particular order, I mean, it makes every woman in America a second-class citizen again. And remember, the Constitution did not give women their rights, right? Women, the only rights women have other than being a citizen, they fought for and they obtained them the hard way, years after years after year, the right to vote, the right to use contraception, the right to control their own bodies, the right to decide when they're going to have a family and how many they're going to have, when they're going to have a kid. All of that is gone. And by the way, they're not going to stop there because Alito's whole decision is based on unenumerated rights in the Constitution. I know you've talked about this. And there are a lot of unenumerated rights that we have fought for and won, like the right to love somebody of my same sex and marry that person, like the right to use contraception, like the right to love and marry somebody of a different race. Those are not enumerated in the Constitution, neither is abortion. You take away abortion, all the rest are up for game, up for grabs. And that's their agenda, to force their ultra-right agenda on the American people. So number one, what it does for women. Number two, what it does for politics. I mean, I think this makes it clear. Republicans talked about it, but I don't think they ever thought they would actually get, this is a dog chasing the car, you know? And I think that's pretty clear because you see what they're doing now. They're not celebrating. They're not dancing in the street. They're trying to run away from it. They're saying, let's talk about inflation instead. Let's talk about the economy. Let's talk about critical race theory. The National Republican Senatorial Committee put out a memo to Senate candidates saying abortion should be talked about as little as possible. Why? Because they know it's going to boomerang and it's going to bite them in the ass. I think this is the wake-up call for Democrats. This is the opportunity for Democrats to hold on to the Senate and to hold on to the House in these midterm elections. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it was never going to happen before this. This is the opportunity. And the third thing it does is, I'm sorry for such a long answer, but this is a big deal. I think it destroys the credibility of the United States Supreme Court. You know, we always thought that the court was some lofty, august institution that was, yeah, they were Republicans or Democrats, but they got on the court. That was all behind them. Then they just looked at the law and looked at what the Constitution says and looked at what was right for America. No longer. These guys don't give a fig's, don't give a rat's ass about the Constitution, the 13th Amendment, the 14th Amendment, the 15th Amendment, forget it. All they care about is five votes, and they got them. They may have six, but they certainly got five. And with five, their agenda is the Republican Party agenda. They're nothing but a wing of the MAGA party. That's who the Supreme Court is today. And so I no, you know, they put up a big fence around the Supreme Court. That's not going to save the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is done. I think it may never recover its reputation again. So you know what? I'm up for it. Term limits for Supreme Court justices. Damn right. Put more justices on the court. Absolutely. And break them up into little groups, right? These three here, those kind of cases, these three. Got to totally remake the Supreme Court.
Bill Press, Ron Johnson.
That's just a thumbnail sketch of why I think this is important. But if this doesn't wake up the American people, if the American people on this issue, anybody who believes in freedom, you know, if you don't get off your ass and get out in the streets and get to the voting booth on this issue, then, you know, you're hopeless.
Bill, Ron Johnson here in Wisconsin says, well, it might get a little messy, but, you know, abortion will still be legal in Illinois. You can drive down there. And there seems to be this laissez-faire attitude, or at least Republicans. Well, as long as liberals on the coast have abortion, who cares about women all in the flyover country, apparently, who have to live under red state laws? If Roe v. Wade is overturned, Wisconsin's legal abortion comes to an end, ceases, no exceptions, rape or incest. And Ron Johnson is the senator from Wisconsin, and he's on the ballot this year. Do you think this affects Ron's race? And could you see the primary maybe turning towards a female like Godlewski, or any insights to offer? Tea leaves to read, Bill.
Well, I'm not going to get on your show and pretend to know Wisconsin politics like you do. But from my distance, absolutely, I think it can make a difference. I think it will make a difference. But I would say that first of all, it's extremely important to get rid of Rojo because he's a clown. I mean, Wisconsin deserves a lot better. Liberal or conservative, you deserve somebody sane, somebody, you know, you can at least say, yeah, he's my senator, right? You're not embarrassed by him. But I think what may be more important is the governor's race in Wisconsin, because, yeah, that wacky legislature will probably pass a law making abortion illegal in Wisconsin, but Tony Evers will veto it, right? And he's up for if he is not reelected, Wisconsin becomes one of the red states where abortion is illegal. No doubt about it.
Bill Press, you got to come.
By the way, again, why should it be? It should not be up to the states. This is a fundamental right to control one's own body, right? That should not be a hopscotch. Some states, yes. Some states, no. Who cares? No. This is fundamental to the Constitution. It should be. It has to be a national right, and women have to be full-fledged citizens.
Bill Press, I'm going to have my people call your people, and we're going to get you here in the state of Wisconsin between now and Election Day, and we'll do a little live show, and you can rally Tony Evers. Hell, we'll invite the man down for a cold Wisconsin beer.
Okay, and let's talk in the meantime, too, huh?
Yes, sir, we will. Thank you, Bill Press. Have a great one. Folks, come back. Hour two of the Devil's Advocates. Jim Santel, hour two, former U.S. attorney. Not quite next, but soon.
It's Big Ben, kids. Parliament.